Hey, everybody. Nancy Pelosi's commission was supported by 35 Republicans. We name them all. Share this podcast with your friends so they know who is deciding to side with Nancy Pelosi to give her a new special counsel. We also talk about school board meetings and something happening in Scottsdale, Arizona. freedom@charliekirk.com is our email. And if you want to support us, like Carl from Montana or Ginny from Missouri, thank you guys, by the way. It's charliekirk.com/support or Arnold from Rhode Island, charliekirk.com/support to help us in our mission to reach millions of young people. charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So I want to get through a very important piece of news that happened. The Pelosi Commission. So for the last couple months, Nancy Pelosi, I think, has been intentionally slow walking this. I think that Nancy Pelosi has been intentionally dragging her feet for months because Nancy Pelosi wanted a commission to look into January 6th, despite the fact that every single department of law enforcement right now is looking into it. She wanted this to be a later authorized commission so it would go into the election year of 2022 and hurt Republicans. So she did not want this to be an overnight thing. So she pretended as if she was negotiating with Republicans on this commission. And the more information that we get about January 6th, the more it looks like an interruption, not an insurrection. And I'm not supporting the smashing of windows or the assaulting of police officers. You lay your hand on a police officer, you should go to prison for a very long time. I'm not minimizing that. At the same time, who killed Ashley Babbitt? And why were there no charges against the person that fired a shot at Ashley Babbitt, who was unarmed? I thought that was the big mantra of BLM Incorporated. So for months now, Republicans have been negotiating with Nancy Pelosi. When I say Republicans, I mean someone who is not even a Republican, someone who voted for impeachment. And so the commission is supposed to be like a 9/11 style commission to look in to the January 6th incident. But we all know how these things happen. This would be a Mueller style counsel that would be a roaming prosecutor with no limitations to go after anyone on the center right if they were even commenting or remotely involved on anything that happened on January the 6th. Any Republican that voted for this has a very low IQ and no courage whatsoever. After what we saw the Democrats do, after what we have seen the Democrats do with every single apparatus of power at their disposal, that we're now supposed to believe that after how the Democrats and the activist media handled the 2016 election, the Russian collusion hoax with the entire Mueller investigation, which was a total lie, the Covington smear, Kavanaugh, the Ukraine, the second impeachment, the Chinese coronavirus, and this is Sean Davis from The Federalist who mentioned many of this, we're now supposed to believe that they're going to act perfectly? Of course not. They want this as a political prosecutor to go after Trump supporters and Trump himself. It's so obvious what they want to do. And so sure, we just have to take a pause, time out. Why is this commission necessary? We got Department of Justice on this. We got the FBI on this. We got the Department of Homeland Security. We got Capitol Police doing their own internal review. And before a commission even needs to be formed, I would love an answer to a very simple question. Who put the pipe bombs at the RNC and the DNC? How have we not been able to find that out? I have another very simple question. Why was it that the FBI had an internal memo saying they knew something was going to happen, yet they did nothing? And so these are questions that the commission, of course, will not touch. Instead, it is going to be nothing more than a Mueller investigation 2.0. Roaming, no discretion. Now, I want to give some kudos to a man that we have a mixed relationship with here on the Charlie Kirk Show. But we say it true, and then we say it. We always say it true, but sometimes the truth hurts a little bit. I want to say good job, Mitch McConnell. I want to say, Mitch McConnell, you coming out against this commission sent a very clear signal to Senate Republicans that this thing was almost dead on arrival. So thank you, Mitch McConnell. That was the right thing for you to do. It was. I think Mitch McConnell just wants to get back into power, and he's exactly right. If this thing gets authorized, it's going to threaten him from actually getting back into power. And so this is not about getting to the bottom of anything. This is a Nancy Pelosi commission. That's what this is. Did this pass narrowly in the United States House? No. 35 Republicans voted to authorize Nancy Pelosi's special prosecutor. 35 Republicans. We're going to name them all. Every single one of them. Who they think they represent, what party they think they're part of, I don't know. Don Bacon from Nebraska. I know him. I'm very disappointed to hear this. He's a good man. He served his country. He's a veteran. I don't know what he's doing here. Congressman, your congresswoman or congressman, Bence from Oregon. Bice from Oklahoma. Liz Cheney from Wyoming. Shocked. Curtis from Utah. Rodney Davis from Illinois. I know him too. He's waste of rations. Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania. Fortenberry from Nebraska. Garbarino from New York. Jimenez from Florida. Gonzalez from Texas. Gonzalez from Ohio. Guest from Mississippi. Herrera Butler from Washington. Awful. Hill from Arkansas. Hollinsworth from Indiana. Jacobs from New York. Johnson from South Dakota. I think his name's Dusty Johnson. This one I simply cannot understand. This one is, you represent the whole state of South Dakota, and you're trying to tell me that your constituents of South Dakota are clamoring for you to authorize Nancy Pelosi to have a special prosecutor right now when we already have every level of law enforcement looking into this. Let me say this again. If the FBI, the DOJ, this is being investigated, okay? This commission would be nothing more than a multi-thousand page report of how awful conservatives are, how white supremacy is the biggest threat ever, and we need more surveillance justification against them. Joyce from Ohio. Katko from New York, who is the bill's co-sponsor. Adam Kinzinger from Illinois. Shocking. McKinley from West Virginia. Is it Dusty or Rusty? Dusty? Yeah. Dusty. What a waste of time that guy is. Peter Meyer from Michigan. Let me tell you what. Peter Meyer is one of my least favorite people on the planet. Because this guy, we at Turning Point Action, went and knocked on doors, and he was all pro-Trump. And one of his first things he does is to go to impeach Donald Trump. And he has been terrible. Going on CNN, never missing an opportunity to betray the constituents of Western Michigan. He lied. Again, it'd be one thing if you run as a moderate. If you do the Susan Collins thing and you're like, hey, I'm really center right. Again, I actually respect Susan Collins. Susan Collins has come out against this. Susan Collins has come out against this commission. I have a very clear rule in politics. If you're going to be a moderate Republican, be very clear you're a moderate Republican. And you're going to say, hey, I'm going to vote with you on some things and not on other things. I love honesty. I prefer clarity over agreement. Let me say that again. This is a Pragerism. I prefer clarity over agreement. These guys, they're snakes in the grass. Oh, yeah, we love Donald Trump. Elect me. I'm Peter Meyer. Meanwhile, then he goes and impeaches Donald Trump. And then he goes on television saying that he wants a special commission to find out what happened. What are the federal law enforcement agencies doing exactly? Now, you want to go give Nancy Pelosi another Bob Mueller. And this one will actually know what's happening, unlike Bob Mueller, who was like Joe Biden, total space cadet, when he was put in front of Congress. Moore from Utah, Newhouse from Washington, Reed from New York, Rice from South Carolina. Republicans who decided they want to authorize the Pelosi Commission. Marionette Miller Meeks won by 6 votes in Iowa. Turning Point Action. We also went up and knocked on doors for her. We didn't know we'd be helping a Democrat. Maria Elvira Salazar from Florida. I know her. What a disappointment that is. Simpson, Republican from Idaho. Smith from New Jersey. Taylor from Texas. Upton from Michigan. Volado, whatever, from California, and Womack from Arkansas. And so as we look at this new conservative movement, we got to ask ourselves the question, what is the reason that these Republicans are going out of their way to try and give power to a roaming prosecutor in Mueller 2.0? Well, this is Representative Peter Meyer's justification. Cut 99.
We need accountability. We need an open, transparent investigation that will yield a public document that the people can reference. I mean, right now, we still have more questions than answers on what occurred on January 6th, what led up to that. And really, it's essential we don't move past this without that sense of accountability. If we just try to whitewash, if we try to forget what happened that day, we're guaranteed to see a repeat and additional political violence.
So he says that we need a report that everyone can reference. So explain to me why the Department of Justice can't do that report. Now, I don't necessarily say I trust that, but I'm just saying outside of this political style commission that is going to be formed. Representative Andy Biggs spoke out against the commission, cut 97.
So even though there's literally been law enforcement investigation that has got spanned the country and hundreds of people have been arrested, the Democrats want to have this commission so they can give unbridled power to agencies of this government, including agencies such as the IRS, to investigate and go after people that they suspect of participating in coming into the Capitol on January 6th.
So you have the Democrats in this bill that would empower the entire federal bureaucracy to go after anyone that they might seem to be a political dissident. We talked about on this program before the Night of the Long Knives, about how they want to use the apparatus of law enforcement to go after people that they disagree with on the other side, to destroy the other political party. And they think that through this bill they can do that. The only problem is the filibuster, of course, in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell, to his great credit, and Susan Collins, to her credit, have come out against this. But there's 35 Republicans that voted for it. 35 Republicans. Bacon, Bence, Bice, Cheney, Curtis, Davis, Fitzpatrick, Fortenberry, Garbino, Jimenez, Gonzalez, Guest, Herrera, Butler, Hill, Hollingsworth, Jacobs, Johnson, Joyce, Katko, Kinzinger, McKinley, Meyer, Miller, Meeks, Moore, Newhouse, Reed, Rice, Salazar, Simpson, Smith, Taylor, Upton, Velado, and Womack. The reason is beyond me, except for the fact that they want to go on Jake Tapper's show and feel morally superior and virtue signal to the rest of the country. And they are playing directly into the power-grabbing hands of Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. And so maybe some of you live in some of those districts and maybe you're going to be involved in primary campaigns. Maybe some of you should do whatever you possibly can to make sure that this new conservative movement is not weighed down by the cronyism and the corruption and the lack of a moral compass that our current party has in too many different places.
Are you saving for retirement or just treading water? Are you depending solely on stocks or mutuals instead of diversifying what you really need? Do you know that it's easy to move out an old 401k into precious metals like gold? And that's predicted to go up more than $2,500 an ounce soon. This could be the answer for you, so call the team at Noble Gold. Do it this month and they'll gift you a free 22-carat, 1/10 of an ounce gold American Eagle coin. Just mention the promo code KIRK. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
There's more wisdom in this new kind of form of child activist than from most parents I have seen. Most parents are either too agreeable or they don't understand the tyranny that is happening in real time. And this right here, this little girl, stood in front of the school board and she just let them have it over masks. She has more wisdom, biblical wisdom, than almost any other person I have seen on this issue. I think she's 10 years old. Cut 94.
And I don't think barely anybody likes masks in schools. Their children are suffocating. You don't know what it feels like. And just, it's nonsense. Seriously. Like, why would you do that? Why in the world would you do that? And God created us so we can be free people. And we're not being free here or at public schools. Okay? So I would take your masks off if I were you. And I'm not wearing a mask right now, and I never will as much as I can.
She's fighting harder than most parents across the country. If you are watching or listening this, find your school board and show up. It's that simple. No more spectator conservatism. We need you in the arena. And I will be showing up to school boards all across the country fighting for this very thing. And the other thing that we keep on talking about, of course, is critical race theory. Now, if your child is being taught critical race theory or is being forced to wear a mask in school, show up and do something about it. Cut 93, Kimberly Crenshaw on CNN says that critical race theory just says let's pay attention to what has happened in our country and how what has happened in our country has continued to create different outcomes. This is one of the big lies. And we have Jason Riley coming on our program to talk about Thomas Sowell. So make sure you check out the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. We're going to talk about discrimination versus disparities. I'm going to talk about it a little bit here. Let's go to cut 93.
Critical race theory just says, let's pay attention to what has happened in this country and how what has happened in this country is continuing to create differential outcomes so we can become that country that we say we are. So critical race theory is not anti-patriotic. In fact, it is more patriotic than those who are opposed to it because we believe in the 13th and the 14th and the 15th Amendment.
This person's very confused as to what critical race theory is. But they're saying that, Kimberly Crenshaw here is saying that, so we could become the country that we say that we are. Okay, then explain to me this. Why does critical race theory care about race? Is the focus on race an American value? Of course not. Focus on character is an American value. Critical race theory, very similar to Nathan Bedford Forrest or John C. Calhoun or Nicole Hannah Jones, and we'll get to her in just a second, believes that race matters. We believe that race does not matter. And so she says, we have to talk about how things that happened are affecting things that are happening. Now, this sounds rather logical, doesn't it? This sounds that widespread discrimination that did exist in our country must have resulted in current disparities, obviously. Right? Well, Thomas Sowell would say no. Thomas Sowell would say when you see a certain data set that has a disparity, a mature, scientific, mathematic, reasoned, or logical way to look at that is not to prescribe one input for that disparity. So what if I told you there were 100 different inputs outside of discrimination that very well has played a role and a factor into blacks having a different income, wealth, or socioeconomic level in America, such as whether or not you're raised by a father. Whether or not, how many words does a child hear at home? Do you know that how many words a child hears at home is one of the top predictors of a child's IQ, ability to communicate, go to school and not go to prison? If a child hears 5,000 words or less a day, they're much more likely to end up into a broken school, not graduate, or go to prison. The more words a child hears at home, the more likely they are to succeed. So if you have two parents at home, are you more or less likely to hear more words when you're a child? Let me prove to you how sloppy this argument is. Do you know that mountain towns and prairie towns tend to be poorer than river towns and coastal towns? So, for example, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and LA, New York, and Boston tend to be wealthier than towns like Springfield, Missouri, or Bismarck, North Dakota. Is that because of racism? Of course not. Do you know that a town on a river or on a natural body of water like Chicago tends to be wealthier than a town completely land-trapped like Albuquerque, New Mexico? Why? Are we able to blame racism for the fact that land-trapped cities are poorer than river towns or coastal towns? Of course not. It could be explained basically through geography and how wealth is created. If you are located at a port of entry, you are more likely to be wealthier. Where commerce is done is where wealth is created. And so if you are land-trapped like Albuquerque, New Mexico, you are then going to have to be a destination, not having to be a must-go-through thoroughfare for where shipping, commerce, travel happens to occur. If you're coming from Korea and you want to do a business deal, are you going to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, or are you going to go to Seattle? Now, there's obviously outliers with this. Dallas, Texas is a great outlier. And Dallas, Texas, largely created thanks to oil and natural gas. But Houston is a port city where a lot of the oil and natural gas flows through into our country. Now, what am I getting at here? Boston, New York, Philadelphia are all coastal towns. Seattle, San Francisco, and LA are all coastal towns. Those six towns are some of the wealthiest in America. And then I could pick six rural towns. Let's say Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's say Des Moines, Iowa, where they are landlocked. Is the reason they are poor only because of discrimination? Of course not. So maybe instead we should open up our eyes, Kimberly Crenshaw, and say that there are other inputs that might possibly contribute to the output of the Black community having disparate or different outcomes. How about culture? How about the music that happens to be dominant in the Black community? Thomas Sowell wrote extensively about this, about how the music that young Blacks happen to hear in urban culture glorify and glamorize a gangster lifestyle. That glorifies and glamorizes, such as Cardi B, happens to platform and romanticize the idea of adulterous relationships. That's not to say that all the music in a traditional suburban white community is perfect, but there tends to be a check and balance against that in that certain type of culture. Thomas Sowell talks about this at great length. And by the way, just so we're clear, to kind of complete the point about the landlocked cities are typically whiter cities. So if whiteness, Kimberly Crenshaw, was the number one predictor of whether or not a people were going to be wealthy, those landlocked cities tend to be poor. So maybe race isn't the most important thing. Maybe there's 50 other things that could contribute to it. How about literacy rates? How many books a child has to read or is forced to read before the age of 5? The type of vocabulary a child is exposed to. Whether or not a child is exposed to slang or carefully worded sentences. Whether or not a child is exposed to harmonic, melody-driven music or aharmonic music driven more on noise like rap music is. Not to say all rap music is that way, but I think that this is a hill I will definitely die on, okay? That Mozart, Beethoven, and Bach are infinitely better for a society than Jay-Z. A society that is raised on the classics of the music that built Western civilization is going to want to pursue higher levels of truth than listening to Jay-Z or Drake. Now, some of these things you could definitely ascribe to past discrimination. Some of it. Thomas Sowell even accepted part of that premise. And by the way, Thomas Sowell is Black. I just got a note from one of my friends listening in Chicago. He said, remind people that Thomas Sowell is Black. Because not that that matters, but it does give him a little bit more of credibility when it talks about this issue. And he was raised, I think, in Harlem. Was it Brooklyn? I guess we'll find out from Jason Riley soon. He's going to be on our podcast. I think it was Harlem. And made a great life of himself. And the argument that he would make is before the Civil Rights Act was passed in the 1940s and 50s, Blacks saw a massive increase in wealth. They saw a renaissance in household income. Black families were staying together. And Thomas Sowell basically said, look, I will give the 22% number to Nicole Hannah-Jones. Now, what's the 22% number? The 22% number is this idea that before the Civil Rights Act was passed, 22% of Black families were raised by single mothers. 22%. The Civil Rights Act passed, and now it's 77%. So Nicole Hannah-Jones and Ta-Nehisi Coates and Robin DiAngelo and all the people in the intelligentsia are going to have to explain why, as America got significantly less racist and America got more accepting, we elected a black president with a black attorney general, we have black billionaires, and we have black majority sports leagues. Let me say that again. We have black majority sports leagues. What kind of racist country would have a black majority sports league? It's called the National Basketball Association. That all of a sudden, as America got less racist and more embracing of a multicultural, multiracial society, that black communities and black livelihoods went down. The answer is fatherlessness. And how do you attribute that? Bad social policy crafted by Lyndon Baines Johnson, including a culture that tended to embrace that. So no, just because you have disparate outcomes does not mean you can solely blame discrimination on that fact. It could be the opposite. That is the mature way of looking at what we're living through. In our fast-paced world, it's tough to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. At thinker.org, they summarize the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you an access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, from old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. I've used Thinker. I use it almost every single day to digest big ideas quickly and easy to understand. So if you want to challenge your preconceptions, learn something new every day, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinker.org. That's thinkr.org to start a free trial today. Again, that's thinker.org. I'm hearing rumblings about the Scottsdale School Board. I read that story. I am going to show up. I am actually a business. I guess you could call it a business. Turning Point's, it's a nonprofit. I employ people in the state of Arizona, and I pay property tax in the city of Scottsdale. I am showing up at the next Scottsdale School Board meeting because the way they treated those parents were terrible. I will be there if it works with my schedule and I'm not on Mars or Neptune or Bismarck, North Dakota or Portland, Maine, wherever it is or whatever it is, I will be there to speak out against the forced child abuse of making children wear masks in Scottsdale, Arizona. So if you're watching this or listening to this in Arizona, we're going to find out when the next one is. So producer Connor, maybe by the end of the show, you can find when the next one is because I want to get involved in this. I want to get involved in this at the very fundamental level. And they actually have to let me in because at some of these school boards, they're going to be like, oh, you can't go. Like, no, I pay property tax in Scottsdale. Thank you very much. You work for me. And everyone who lives in Scottsdale should feel the same. And that's a big area with a lot of conservatives. So I want to play some tape here. There's a lot of different directions we can go in here and a lot of different things we can talk about. But I want to go to Cut 74, which we can't forget. And this is why we have to have Cut 74. Kamala.
You know, as we emerge from the pandemic, I believe that we are at the start of a new era. I believe that we have a unique opportunity now to shape our nation's future, to transform how we live, how we work, and how we vote.
So I want to go through that again. It's Kamala Harris saying that the Chinese coronavirus is an opportunity. They look at this as a gateway to achieve things that they have always wanted to achieve. Never let a crisis go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel once said. And so this is something I want to explore with all of you, and I'd love to have you tell us about that, freedom@charliekirk.com. Why shouldn't we as conservatives be unafraid to say the same? Why shouldn't we as conservatives say, you know what? The virus is an opportunity for us to have a homeschooling revolution in America. Why not? Why shouldn't we say that the virus is an opportunity to transform government schools the way we have them in America? The virus has been an opportunity in the lockdowns as an opportunity to say that church will be essential. Why not? They're unafraid to say that the virus is going to try to be an opportunity to remake America in their image. Well, we should be unafraid to say the same. What do I have on June 22nd? That's when the Scottsdale meeting is. You see how easy that is, everybody? We just look it up. June 22nd, 3 p.m. I probably have something. But if I can move it, I will. At 3 p.m.? Who puts meetings at 3 p.m.? Answer, tyrants who don't want you to show up. That's who puts meetings at 3 p.m. What do I have that day? I think we can move that. We'll be a little flexible with that. Exactly. They put this at 3 p.m. They put it at 3 p.m. because they know you're working and they don't want working people who pay their property taxes to show up. So Scottsdale, I'll tell you what, June 22nd at 3 p.m., you're going to have to hear from me, a taxpayer, showing up and speaking. Because I'm telling you, this school board thing is the front lines. The school boards are where we are going to say no more. And that's exactly what the Founding Fathers wanted. Remember, we went through the different levels of how Aristotle viewed government, and the Founding Fathers directly derived that. Starts with what? The individual. Then the family. Then the city, or then the community, then the city, then the state, then the federal. Well, the city is now impacting the family and the individual and your children. And so June 22nd, if I can be there, I think we could play some, I think we can dance that around a little bit. We'll see what we could do. We'll see what happens. Because if normal people don't start showing up to school boards, I'm talking about all people, then the country is done and it's lost. But there are more of us than there are of them, everybody. And in any way I can contribute to that and I could personally show up, so be it. So June 22nd, governing board. Is that really the next one, Connor? June 22nd. Is that, geez, what do they meet, like once a month? Tough job. 3 p.m. They might as well have it at lunch. No one's going to show up. They show monthly, and they're going to have to hear from all of us. So if you live in Arizona, June 22nd at 3 p.m., Scottsdale, be there. I will not be wearing a mask, I can tell you that much. The truth is on our side. We are going to retake America. It's the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. I'm in Montana tonight. I love it here. Still part of America. See you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.